T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our good buddy Eric Name, covering the Milwaukee Bucks and our Milwaukee basketball insider. Eric, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing well. So what is your role? How are you going to perform your role, I guess is the best way to put it, when it comes to covering this Bucks team? Are you allowed inside the bubble or what?
It's going to be interesting to see. From everything I've heard, the NBA is going to make sure that there is only a limited number of people inside of that bubble, and that pertains to media members as well. So, I think back to last year's Eastern Conference Finals and how full all of the media rooms in Milwaukee and Toronto and the overflow rooms and all those were, where obviously everyone's trying to cover it, no matter the outlet, no matter what it is. That is not going to happen this year. They are going to do everything that they can to make sure that there's limited exposure inside there. So I'm thinking that, you know, the Athletic's going to send a couple people down there for the whole thing. And then I think we'll see kind of as we go round by round how it works out and who ends up being in there. So I'm still hopeful that I will get to get down there and be a part of it. But I don't think anyone knows quite yet.
So from what you've heard, we talk about the guys getting together, being in shape, camaraderie, all that kind of stuff. I thought that some of the things that I think the Bucks have done in this time, specifically with the team getting together to march together, it just goes back to show the solidarity that this team had. I don't think this team's going to take as long as maybe others to really get that symbiotic relationship back from going off the court to on the court. Do you?
No, I don't think it's going to be too tough. And I think one of the other things that, you know, the Bucks kind of had an advantage with was they didn't really have a ton of guys that were new to the city this year, where, you know, they had in years past, like a whole cavalcade of players that ends up coming in, brand new free agents, all that stuff. This year, it's not the exact same team as last year, but pretty similar. And, you know, they only make the one move at the trade deadline to bring in Marvin Williams. So, like, it wasn't a ton of guys that needed to figure out, okay, how do I live in Milwaukee? All these people knew how to live in Milwaukee. So, you know, talking with Pat Compton, a couple other players, like, for the most part, most of the players were here in Milwaukee. Whether or not they were actually able to get in the facility, obviously they couldn't for a long time. But, you know, everyone was kind of around. So when, you know, the bat signal goes up to bring everybody back into town, for a number of those guys, they're already here. So I think they've all gotten to be together. Obviously, we've heard about, you know, them texting each other, them talking to each other throughout all of this. I think this is a really connected team. And as you mentioned, the march that, we talked about a month ago now, you know, they've been together. They're on the same page. I don't think this is going to be all that difficult of a restart for them.
When it comes to Budenholzer, now we know he talked about his experiences coming out of last year, his experience with a shortened season when he was under Pop. Do you give him an advantage coming out of something like this?
I think I really don't know how he's going to handle it. I think there's an inherent advantage for the Bucks just having such a big lead with the one seed. You know, they have a 6.5 game lead over the second place team in the Eastern Conference, the Toronto Raptors. So there's I'm not going to say there's no chance. There's a very, 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 very small chance that they could possibly lose the one seed. But all they have to do is win one game, or the Raptors have to lose one game, and they have a one seed locked up. So I think that gives the Bucks an advantage in they aren't going to have to go 0 to 100 really quick. And why that can be a disadvantage for other teams is I think we're going to see some of those tissue injuries that can kind of spring up in these situations. We see those a lot of times coming out of lockout season. I don't think the Bucks are going to have to deal with that because they can kind of move players into a level of intensity at their own pace. So I think that helps them out. And then, you know, I think the other thing here is when you have a guy like Giannis, I think the idea of the NBA season being a marathon, that's always a good thing. And that's how they've kind of prepared Giannis for this. They've always managed his minutes. But as far as players that are built for a two-month, three-month sprint, I mean, there's not a more impressive physical specimen in the entire league than Giannis Antetokounmpo. There isn't anyone that, you know, can just so much of his game is about power and strength and speed, and all of those things can play really well over a short period of time. And, you know, if you can get him going quickly and all of a sudden all these other teams are playing catch-up, some of these other teams have older stars that might not be able to turn it on as quickly. If all those teams are playing at a disadvantage, I think it can just be huge. And I mean, Giannis even separates himself in that regard from some of the other young players. Like you look at a guy like Joel Embiid here over or in the Eastern Conference with the Sixers, like he's someone who has had to play himself into shape in many seasons. And if that's the case, well, the season's going to get over before it gets started for some of these teams. So for Giannis, the shape that he keeps himself in, having him as a weapon, I think a lot of this does really play into the Bucks' hands.
Talking with Eric Name, joining us on Milwaukee Basketball Insider. The one thing I did want to mention in the news of the day is that it looks like the Lakers are going to finalize a deal with J.R. Smith under the deadline to bring in an additional player to get him into the bubble. What does this mean for the Lakers for the West?
I mean, I think the Lakers, this isn't losing Anthony Davis or LeBron James. So, obviously, as long as they have those two guys, they're going to be among the very best teams in the league. But I do think the difference between the Lakers and Clippers is pretty small, that those are two teams that are really close. And, you know, Avery Bradley started a majority of their games this season. Avery Bradley was a pain in the side of for the Bucks when they played them three games before the whole league shut down in March. So that hurts. Like he is a competent offensive player. He's a great defender, very physical, really helps them on that end. And to lose a guy like that and bring in a guy in J.R. Smith who hasn't played since I think November 2018, that's going to hurt. It's just going to be tough for them to get that same level of impact. So they do have guys in Rajon Rondo, Alex Caruso that can step up, but I do think that does hurt the Lakers. And when you are looking at two teams kind of separated by so little in the Clippers and the Lakers, this could be the difference between what gets the Lakers to the Western Conference Finals and what gets them to the NBA Finals. Like that is a real possibility. So I do think it's pretty big for the Lakers, not in, oh, they're no longer contenders, but if you need that small advantage to get over the Clippers and get yourself to the NBA Finals, maybe it is having Avery Bradley. Maybe it is, you know, J.R. Smith having one too many bad plays. Like that small little difference could end up being a huge deal.
You look at going back to the Bucks. You look at some of the depth that they've had, and it's pretty much the way we've seen it all season long, where guys came in, they hit big buckets, DiVincenzo, George Hill, Pat Connaughton, you know, whoever it happens to be. I just look at this team, and I know that Budenholzer has talked about last year, but I look at this team this year. It's got obviously star power, and then it's got the depth. And I think one of the quotes that I keep hearing in my head is when Ersan Ilyasova, when we were doing the Milwaukee basketball show, said, "Your starters get you to the postseason, and the postseason is won by your depth." Do we look at this team as one of the strongest teams when it comes to total depth?
Yeah, I don't even think there's a debate. This is the deepest team in the NBA. Like you look at throughout the year, I mean, even look at Frank Mason III. He just won MVP in the G League. He'd be a backup point guard most places. He barely got to play for the Bucks in that speaks to just how deep they are. You know, I wrote last week at The Athletic about how this is going to be a tough spot for Bud, because typically postseason rotations get chopped down a little bit, and he's going to be in a spot where he probably has to cut out someone that's actually good, someone that could actually contribute. And that just isn't a luxury most teams have. So their depth is, I mean, to me, the absolute best in the league. This is a team that can go legitimately 13 deep. All 13 guys that are active on any given night could play and could contribute. So there's no doubt about that depth. I do think the only maybe disadvantage here is that leads to some tougher decisions for Mike Boonholzer. There's only 240 minutes in any regulation NBA game. How do you use all those minutes? How do you, you know, chop down the rotation? How do you decide, you know, we got to play Giannis 8 more minutes in the postseason than we do in the regular season? Whose minutes does he take? Same thing with Chris Middleton. How do you kind of make those tougher decisions on the edge of the roster? And, you know, how do you decide what is the night to use a guy like Pat Connaughton? What is the night that you're really going to need Kyle Korver off the bench? And if he hasn't played for 3 games, can you still bring him in and count on him for 5 minutes to hit 3 threes? Like, how do you balance all of that? So it's certainly been an advantage all season long. I do think in the playoffs, it really is going to be on Mike Boonholzer to make some tough decisions and try to figure out who it is on any given night that's going to give him the minutes that he needs to win that game.
Talking with Eric Name, Milwaukee Basketball Insider. Before I let you go, what is this offseason going to look like? I think there's an urgency to win this thing now, because I don't think you're going to have the same amount of players and or depth when it comes to this group going into next season. Not to mention, if you go to, say, the finals or the Eastern Conference finals, so to speak, and you lose, not only did you lose, but then your turnaround time is very short. Chances are there's a level of fatigue that you are going to face that other teams are not. So there seems to be a sense of urgency that, okay, you got this far, 62-plus games into it, you're the best record in the league, you got to win it now, right?
Yeah, I do think this is obviously a spot where if you can win a championship going into this offseason, the Bucks are going to have a chance to offer Giannis Antetokounmpo a supermax extension. He can sign it this year, or he can just wait and then sign it again next year. He'll still be signed with the Bucks next year. He's not a free agent this season, but this is the first time he gets a chance to sign what would have been the largest contract in NBA history before the pandemic. The numbers might change a little bit. It might not end up being the biggest anymore, but it'll be a huge contract extension. And, I mean, just human nature would suggest that if I put that contract in front of you 2 months after you've won a championship, you might not be feeling the same way as if, you know, 3 days after you do a parade down Wisconsin Avenue, you still reek of champagne. Maybe you want to sign that thing. Maybe you say, you know what, I'm feeling great. We just won a championship. I want to be here for the rest of my life. Let me sign this contract. I do think that can play into it. So if they do win this, there is a very real possibility that would sway Giannis to say, all right, I'm signing up long term. I have my ring. I don't have anyone questioning me anymore about whether or not I can win a ring, or if it's just MVPs or just individual performance. I've proven that I'm a winner. If all of that is very condensed, that can happen very quickly, and then all of a sudden you have something very special. But, you know, if you go in the opposite direction, you lose in the NBA Finals, that might throw things into disarray a little bit. That might leave you thinking, okay, how do we retool this team so we win it next year? Obviously, you're going in steps, Eastern Conference Finals, then the NBA Finals, but still no ring. So maybe you feel good that you put it together one more year, you're going to win it next year, or maybe you think you got to make some changes. So that could come really quickly for this Bucks team. So, yeah, I think winning this thing this year there's that urgency where it's just like, if you get it done this year, that makes the future a whole lot easier.
Eric, always good to chat with you, buddy. I certainly appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Sounds good to me.
If you make it, enjoy the bubble, man.
Will do.
Eric Name of The Athletic joining us, our Milwaukee Basketball Insider, and he joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE. That's 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.